Podcasting from the beautiful Mile High City, you're listening to the Do It Again podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling, the undisputed leader in no-holds-barred, catch-as-catch-can wrestling. Here's your host, Jake Shannon.
Thank you for tuning into the Do It Again podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling, the undisputed leader in no holds barred catch as catch can wrestling. I am your host, Jake Shannon. Been chasing down my guest for about a month. I've been really wanting to get him on, and here he is. I'm very excited. I've been following Harry's career for a very long time. I've known him for a dozen years, and I'll be goddamned if he's not doing everything that I wish I could do. He's living the life. The guy truly is an amazing wrestler, comes from one hell of a pedigree, but you know, that's not what's made him. He's just tough as nails. He shows up, he does the work. Harry Smith, let's welcome him to the show. You there, Harry?
I am here. Thanks a lot for having me on, Jake.
Hey, so, okay, first of all, I am so happy you were there and beat the shit out of that guy who fucking jumped the rail. How nuts is that? I mean, you're chilling. It's supposed to be a nice thing. Walk us through that, because that is absolutely nuts. For those who don't know, some stupid fan jumped the rail during the WWE Hall of Fame thing. Bret Hart's right there, and this idiot jumps in and tries to tackle your uncle. You got to tell us how'd that go down? I mean, you're just sitting there like chilling, and then this idiot's in there like attacking your uncle?
Yeah, I mean, what a complete, absolute moron. He's so stupid. But so I was there. I was sitting, because I was sitting kind of far away. I was sitting more like near where the entrance of where everyone was coming out at, and I was on the, like, sitting on the aisle side. So all of a sudden, like, I took a picture on my phone of, like, Brett and Natty, and then I was just kind of checking it to see, like, if it came out blurry, and I was like, all right, and I look up at the screen, and then all of a sudden, like, I see this, like, out of the corner of my eye, someone go in the ring and then tackle Brett, and I'm like, at first, I didn't know, because I never know what WWE's up to, I didn't know if it was part of the show or if it's, like, some...
Yeah.
I didn't even know, I don't know who's on the roster sometimes. And I'm like, oh, my one thought was like, oh, is Brett going to like put this guy in the sharpshooter or something? Like, and then like when I saw everyone going in, I was like, it was like that moment of chaos where I knew like something like clicked in my head where I'm like, no, this is, I think it was when I saw Travis Brown on top and Shane and then like New Day or someone like that. So I rushed down to the ring and I didn't waste any time. And I saw him and I started to try to beat the crap out of him, punch him, get as many punches as I could. He had his face down. So I walloped him pretty good, but it was in the back of the head, but hopefully I got, you know, when you get punched in the back of the head, that's, it's, you're not allowed to do that in UFC. So hopefully he got a little concussion out of it for his, for his duties. And then, when I was punching him, all of a sudden, like I'm being grabbed, and then I get rolled like turned around, and then I see Shane McMahon, and he looks at me in the eyes. He goes, "Harry, stop, Harry, stop. He's going to jail. I don't no more, no more." I was like, "Oh, so weird," because I haven't seen Shane. Oh, it's been a long time because I haven't seen a lot of those guys since I left. But Shane, he had left WWE before I had left to do some other business stuff. So it'd been like 9 years, maybe 10 years. And then Big Show was restraining me. Wow. That guy's lucky that he had the Big Show holding me back. And then when I saw him, he was kind of near where the stands were going up and then the exit. So I tried to go after him again. And it was funny because I was like, "Yeah, Big Show." He's like, "Harry, fuck, stop. And I said, "Oh, yeah, man." I said, "Oh, well, it's good to see you anyway, Show." He goes, "You too, man." I gave him a hug. And then I ran off and I tried to go after the guy again. And like, okay, hang on, just hold my coffee while I go and try to beat this guy up some more. So, and then I tried to, like, when he was near the stairs, I tried to sucker punt his head, but one of the producers, Mark Carano, he got in the way just the last second, and I accidentally kicked Mark Carano right in the kidneys.
Oh no!
And, yes, it was too funny. I got him a drink later, and I said sorry. It was just an accident, but
yeah, man, and, that was
yeah,
nuts.
Man, he was lucky that, you know, that all the wrestlers got after him, because security that night wasn't anything on WWE security. But the security at the arena, they should have been more on the ball with things, you know, I thought. But then again, you never know when some idiot psycho is going to do that. And anybody that's standing up, you know, cheering isn't a potential threat. So, but.
Well, it's like the old days, you know, you hear these stories of guys like Freddie Blassie and stuff talking about the little old ladies stabbing him and throwing acid on him and stuff like that. It's like, you never know with a live audience like that, who's going to be there.
No, exactly. You know, but I'm glad that, you know, I got to beat the crap out of him a bit and get some shots, but you know, I'm also glad that things weren't worse, because like say for instance, if I bit his nose off or something, like I was that pissed off at the guy, I might've gotten a manslaughter charge or something, because you know how things are. Like, you're not just restraining the guy, you're in there trying to hurt him, which I that was my intention. But he's lucky that I was being held back, man. I was gonna kill that guy.
Well, I'm glad you were there, because I mean, definitely sends a lesson, like, hey, don't be messing with these guys out there. They're putting their bodies on the line. And that's like, it just really struck me. Like, you ever heard that phrase, suicide by cop? I mean, what the hell is this guy thinking, jumping into a ring with a bunch of killers, you know?
Yeah. And you know, that's what, makes me think that this guy, like, he's obviously got some mental problems. I read his Twitter page, and he's got the goofy picture of, Super Mario and all that crap as his background. And he's talking about riding in the Batmobile to WrestleMania 35 and all kinds of nonsense, but luckily he was a really stupid psychopath. He's dangerous, but not super dangerous. Like, it's better that thankfully he didn't have like an X-Acto knife or even a pen or something to stab a guy with, or with a bomb strapped to him. Cause you never know. There's guys out there that are like that, but I think he thought he was going to get some publicity out of it, but he did, but that maybe it would help boost his shitty little amateur MMA career or whatever he's got. But I think he's going to be doing jail time. Like, the guy didn't even have $1,500 for bail. You know, that's how pathetic he is.
Wow.
So he's in there until court. I think from what I've told, he's got three charges. Like, he'll be doing time.
And your uncle,
jail's a pretty shitty place, man. He's going to have a rough time in there. So.
Well, and I mean, you guys all certainly gave him plenty of receipts.
Yeah.
your uncle's okay, though. He's all right. And
yeah, thankfully. Thankfully. He had hurt his hip a little bit, but he went to the hospital and they did x-rays, and he's okay. And luckily, there was no damage done to his head, because, you know, he has the concussion and stroke issue from before. That luckily that was... wasn't injured at all during that little scuffle. So, and you know, they continued on the speech, and Brett did a good job of, you know, kind of picking up where he left off, which I bet he was kind of shaken up by it. But
yeah, that is nuts. Now, I mean, you come from such a bomb family. I mean, when did you actually start in the ring? I mean, how old were you? Probably just a little kid, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was always practicing, being a little kid, you know, like, I don't know, you know, like suplexing your teddy bears on the bed and stuff. Having you put the two couches together, and it kind of makes like a ring, like where you can stand on, and, you know, you play Royal Rumble with your friends. And then when I was about eight, I started learning like how to do, front rolls and back rolls and taking bumps a little bit. And then, so when I was eight, I actually had my first professional wrestling match against my cousin, Matt Annis, who's the younger brother of Teddy Hart, Teddy Annis. That was summer of 1994, July 23rd, I believe, in Rocky Ford, Alberta, which is a small town.
And what are you? You're not 30 yet, right? You're like late 20s?
No, I was 8.
No, no, but now, because I'm curious,
now, yeah, 33 now. So,
33, so you've been wrestling like 25 years professionally.
Yeah, yeah, crazy, right? And back in those days, I was living in Florida, so we didn't have, there wasn't really any wrestling schools. Like, it was different back then, you know what I mean? Like, had there been something more available, I would have, but whenever I would come up for the summer times, me and Matt and Ted and Tyson Kidd, TJ Wilson, we would always get together and play in the rings. Like, it would be no different than like the little Gracie kids, you know, doing jujitsu with each other and the gis and stuff. We were always kind of rolling around and playing with each other. And then when I finally moved back to Calgary in the summer of 96, we started wrestling. I started getting trained more regularly and then was able to take it, I guess, more active with it, more serious. And then at that time, I had started doing amateur wrestling as well. And, you know, like I said, it was different back in those days. I don't know what it was like where you were at, but from like 91 to 96, when I was living in Florida, there was no wrestling schools. Like, there was no amateur wrestling schools. People didn't end up getting trained in any amateur wrestling until they were in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So had there been, but nowadays it's like, it's totally different. There's a karate or a jiu-jitsu dojo on every street corner, and you can train and learn, and there's YouTube videos, and there's guys doing seminars. So it was just, I wish my childhood had more amateur wrestling available, but it just didn't. But when I moved back to Canada, there was a few guys, Greg Pollock, Dean Clark, and Jordan Clark, who later became pro wrestlers. But they were teaching amateur wrestling at BJ's gym.
Oh wow!
And that's how I got started into that. So, and I was doing pretty good with both. And then I had an unfortunate injury on my arm when I was 14. I was training to do, I think it was nationals, and I broke my right humerus, which hurt like hell. That really sucked.
That's the big that's the big bone in the upper forearm,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I had to get. They ended up having to do surgery to repair it, and you know, I wanted to kind of get back into amateur wrestling after that, but I just didn't. Like, it was kind of one of those weird things where, like, if there was more catch available at that point, I would have gotten more interested, but it was just amateur wrestling. And at that time, like, my dad was in WWF, and I was more interested in doing that at the time. And then when I was about 18 or 19, I got back into doing amateur wrestling with my coach, Clive Llewellyn. And he was the head of the Olympic Committee for Canada. And I actually still wrestle with him regularly when I'm back here. And then my friend Jarrett, you remember Big Jarrett. He was on the Billy Robinson DVD that we did from...
Yeah, it was 2007. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, yeah, that's... And so he had gotten into jiu-jitsu, and then he introduced me to that. And I was like, man, this stuff's really cool. And I kind of got a little bit of the bite for it, you know, like the, and then, once I met Josh, he kind of really turned my head around and opened my eyes to what grappling is like, what there is available as far as grappling went. And then that's when I first met Billy was in 2000. Yeah. 2000. Was it 2007? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause yeah. It's funny, dude. I got it.
And that was when I first met you was, yeah.
Yeah. I got to tell you, man, almost every seminar I go to this day, dude, it just happened. I had one in San Diego last weekend, and almost every single time people are like, hey, can I ask you something? That guy with his face blurred out, that's got to be Harry Smith. I'm like, yes, it's Harry Smith, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're like this mystery man because we had to blur it out. What people don't know is if you go see that, watch the instructional that we put out, the War Catch Wrestling, the first one we put out with Billy. We filmed all this stuff, and then you called me up. You're like, hey, dude, I'm under contract WWE. Can I blur my face out? So people don't even know that, like, you were there back in, like, totally back in the day, 2006, 2007.
Yeah, that was so funny. like, honestly, like, what I did was the right thing by asking you to blur my face up. But
WWE, smart.
They probably wouldn't have even cared because I was just in developmental at the time. But I was like, oh, geez, man, like, what if I get, like, in super big trouble for this? But
no, dude, that's smart because they're really on, like, their IP, you know, their intellectual property stuff. Because I know people can't share stuff on Instagram or Facebook or stuff. So that was smart, I think.
And I remember when he was, because Billy was demonstrating a bunch, or Josh was demonstrating a bunch of stuff. And then it was like that next day I said, man, can we blur my face out? And then Billy's like, he wanted me to do it like a demonstration or be put in a hold. And I'm like, oh, Billy, I don't know. And you're like, oh, don't worry. You'll blur your face out. And Billy's like, what's the matter? I was like, oh, well, I didn't explain it to him. He's like, well, shit, kid, you should have brought one of those pro wrestling masks. You know? Who can we use? And then he called someone over to end up doing it, but show off. I think it was one of the cradles, but yeah.
So you definitely spent your time. In fact, what people don't realize is the first time I kind of became aware of the whole, which now I use. In fact, it's the name of this whole podcast, but the whole Do It Again thing really didn't come to my awareness because, you know, in the beginning we were all training and stuff. But I saw, he kept saying, there was one camp and he was just like, do it again, Harry, do it again. Yeah. And of course it was some fucking pivot throw thing or, you know, had to do with the pivot. And everybody at that camp was like, man, next camp, we got to get these shirts that say, do it again, Harry.
Do it again. Yeah.
So, and you've done really incredible. So clearly you've had massive, massive success on the sports entertainment / pro wrestling side. I mean, not only WWE, which is the big dog, you know, the big company in the planet, but I mean, New Japan. You just did Bloodsport, which, by the way, if you haven't seen it, for those people out there listening, go over to fight.tv, FITE.TV, or the app or whatever. Get it. It's one hell of a great show. I mean, you have you and Killer Cross, Josh and Minoru Suzuki, Hideki Suzuki and Tim Thatcher. I mean, the matches were just insane. I mean, did you have a good time there? It was a little different of a venue and a little different of a platform. It was more like an EBI kind of platform or something. No ring ropes.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, that's it's been my favorite show I've done in in years, actually. My favorite match I've done in could be one of my favorite matches I've had. You know, it was a different kind of feel and more what is up more, you know, my alley and what my real strengths are with my grappling and catch submissions and gotten into I'm not a huge striker, but I've been working on that as well, and I got to show that. And you know, it was just really, really kind of cool with the rules, because unlike typical pro wrestling, there were no three counts. So it was knockdown, submission, tap out, referee stoppage. So I think it was a different atmosphere, different rule set. And I mean, the fans, I appreciate them all coming down. I mean, I hope Bloodsport does another one of these again soon. But I think they could almost do it where they do like four big shows a year. They do one every other month or something like that, you know, and have a championship title. I think that would be pretty neat.
What was it like working with Killer Cross? That guy looks stronger than hell.
Yeah, he's really tough. You know, I really respect the guy a lot because he's pretty tough, because I hit him pretty hard in there a few times. And he certainly brought it back too. But he had actually requested to wrestle me for the Bloodsport. And he had said that I was one of his guys on his bucket list that he wanted to wrestle in either a pro match or a UWF vice type style match like we just had. And that was really cool because he definitely knows that I'm legit. And it was a good idea because our styles were kind of different. Like, he was more of a striker and more of a grappler. So I think that if I had gone up against one of the other grapplers, like the purple belt, I think he fought. Who did he fight? Anyway, if I went up against a grappler like Hideki Suzuki, it would have been, I'm sure, fun. and really good. But just the contrast in styles, I think, was added a unique element to the match, and it was a lot of fun. We worked great together, and a lot of people were like, "Oh man, you guys must have like wrestled each other 1,000 times or rehearsed that." I said, "No." I said, "I've aside from the handshake before, we never had any physicality ever." So that's saying something, that we have natural chemistry out there.
Yeah, that was fun. And you know, a lot of people who probably are familiar with you from the pro wrestling side, I mean, you killed it. I mean, so you do grappling, like shoot style grappling too, because you already hit, you have a heavyweight Naga belt, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, division, yeah.
And then you killed it last year at the Open tournament, the Billy Robinson Classic as well.
Yes, absolutely. So I've won, I've done some, and also I have. Awesome. Yeah. So you were asking about my, shoot, submission, championships.
Yeah. Yeah. Naga and then yeah. Billy Robinson Classic. And what else you got?
Yes, I had a couple, catch victories over Travis Nawaza also, that Josh, it had been recorded, but I'm not sure why it never went to DVD, but those were fun.
He has his ACWA tournaments out there in California.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. And I was just explaining, if time were to permit me, to be able to do more of these, I certainly would. Of course the busy, pro wrestling schedule of traveling and all that is quite difficult to manage and balance and do both.
Well, but and there's actually money in pro wrestling for you, yeah. and not in the grappling side.
Yeah, that's the thing. But I definitely want to be able to do more of those coming up. And you know, always competing is a really awesome thing. I think that you can learn a lot from yourself after competition, because it's what you really know and versus what you like, what you think you know or you do know, but everything gets kind of zoomed into like a small window of what actually works for you out there. And then you learn a lot from competing as well. And I haven't lost yet, which is definitely great, but I find that if you lose in the gym or you lose, you definitely learn a lot more from the ones that you lose than versus the ones that you win. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of learning, you know, especially from a coaching perspective, like most learning comes from failure. That's the point point of experimentation. Anything else that you don't learn from failure, you're learning from rote memorization. So, you know, those mistakes are the things that you really own that. That's your information that you learn the hard way. So it's a shame. I think a lot of people get like what I call an identity trap, where they're just, once they have a few wins, they get afraid to lose. And it's like chess, man. It's a zero-sum game. You have, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. Just get over it and get on the mat, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's true. But you know, and the thing that I think was really cool about the catch rules that we had last year for the Billy Robinson Classic, and then the one at the in the evening for the catch title.
Yep.
Was that there had to be a winner, you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't like, okay, so a guy, he gets a few points, he scores, and then he's going to stall for the rest of the round, and then he's going to win. By, you really had to either pin or submit the guy, and it was best 2 out of 3 falls. So you really found out who was the best. Like, there was no Metamora style rules are awesome with the 120 minute fall, but some of those catch matches were going on for like 45 minutes to an hour before they finally decided who the winner was, which was really cool.
Well, so I've been running King of Catch tournaments since that same year I met you, the first year, 2007. Yep. And, you know, it's like at a certain point, you know, like that show that we ran in Jersey after the Billy Robinson Classic, it was a bit of a test show, right? Because, I mean, you saw the gate, dude, it was pathetic. I mean, it's like 50 people maybe came, and we did our best, man. We booked the best people we could. We did, you know, we did whatever we could to get out there. But catch just isn't that big. And part of the problem is that you know, I learned something. I don't know about the best two or three in terms of like commercial viability, because the problem is because it those like, you know, Luis Ojeda is another one, a good friend of mine. He had like a 50-minute match to unify, to basically create like a U.S. title against Anthony Sansonetti a number of years ago, 2014 or something. And it's like 50 minutes, dude. And so for the hardcore people like you and me, we'll sit there on the edge of our seats for 50 minutes, like give it a crap because we feel it. But your average Joe Schmo, commercial advertisers, sponsors, you know, they really don't want any of that. So after that, you know, we've had to start thinking about different ways. And, you know, one of the simplest things is by, instead of shifting at best two or three, if you just make it best of three, then it's kept to three rounds.
Yeah.
You know, that was the problem is somebody, you know, the difference, you can wrestle to win or you can wrestle not to lose. And
absolutely.
And that's kind of what ended up happening is there was a lot of stalling. A lot of stuff got dragged out like a 50 billion rounds, which is great. I mean, they used to do that in bare knuckle boxing and it'd go like 100 rounds, but it's just hard. It's not sustainable in terms of an actual sport, I don't think, to have that super long grind like that, you know?
No, exactly. That's the truest. Commercially, it's not feasible.
You know, and it's hard to do anything without money. But anyway, you live and learn. So who are you working for now? I know I see on New Japan. I see on MLW. I see on Bloodsport. I mean, you just got a sweet contract where you could kind of work where you want, or
yeah. Well, so pretty much whenever I go. Like New Japan is kind of the base. So when I'm not there, I've been able to, you know, have the freedom to work other shows like for MLW and for Bloodsport and these other companies like that. Unfortunately, I haven't done a whole lot of stuff with Ring of Honor, and that's not my fault. It's just that I think that they have a lot of guys and they're trying to use guys that they have on a weekly basis. You know, if I'm in Japan for half the year, that's it's hard to use me on a regular basis. But MLW, it's been working out good because they film their TVs on Thursdays, which is not a day that a lot of independent or other companies, they usually run on the weekends, right? So that's worked to my advantage as well. And I've gotten back in the eye of some fans up here in North America again, because I've been doing mostly my stuff in Japan. So yeah, MLW, Bloodsport. I did sign a contract with MLW. So far that's been going really awesome.
Are they Tampa or Orlando? Where are they based?
Yeah. So they're based, I think they're actually based out of New York. Cause Court and all of them live there, but they do TV tapings. So far, they've done them in New York, at the Melrose Ballroom, Chicago, and in Fort Lauderdale, down in Miami, and Fort Lauderdale in Miami. So I think that they have rings in those central areas that they use. The next one, I think they're trying out to do TVs in Milwaukee in June.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure. I think it's just a new state that they want to test the waters out. That's, you know, so. But yeah, MLW has been really awesome. You know, a guy who I really would like to get in there and tussle with is Filthy Tom Lawler. He's the big dog in MLW right now and UFC fighter. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. It seems to me, and you would probably have a better perspective on this than me, but, you know, from the people I know and watching the business, at least on the outside, you know, it's interesting. I mean, it seems to me maybe like the UFC. I know UFC and WWE like to pretend that they're not in competition with each other, but I really think they are. I look at UFC as just another style of pro wrestling. You know, it's like a shoot cage fight, you know, pinfall barred, no holds barred. it's interesting to me because it seems like, you know, I've been around since the beginning of USC, and it's interesting to see the WWE product, how the pressure that UFC's put on it. Because now when I watch something like NXT or whatever, I mean, the work rate reminds me of like UFC, you know, like they're really trying to, it's like UFC or MMA really put the pressure on sports entertainment to make the matches actually simulate a real fight.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't, you know what? I've gotten into watching some NXT stuff, and I liked the work there a lot more than what's typically on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
I saw that Matt Riddle, he wrestled somebody. He was in a, I was watching it at a pub there, and but the volume was off. But man, they were really tearing the house down. It was an awesome match. It was one of the best matches I've seen from that place ever, really. I mean, it was. And Matt Riddle has also, you know, fought professionally, and it was good. It simulated a real fight, and it was like, it was a, they did a unique like pin at the very end for the finish. So I'm glad that they stepped up their game like that, and yeah, they're doing some good stuff, NXT.
I know that people on the whole MMA side have got to be kind of chomping at the bit to get a piece of you, though.
Ah, yes, yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, how many offers have you had? Just a rough guess off the top of your head to do MMA.
You know what? Honestly, I haven't. I've not a whole lot. You know, there was some for like some smaller amateur MMA companies, and then I had been talking to Pancrase a little bit, and then you know things are kind of weird because New Japan, they have a weird relationship where they don't want you to work for anybody else in Japan. So that was kind of the issue why it didn't work out. But Pancrase had kind of come to me with the offer that they were going to do like the old Pancrase style rules with the open palm strikes in a ring,
wow,
with rope escapes, and I was really like looking forward to it. And then you know, I just kind of put them on the, not on the back burner, but I just said, you know, maybe when New Japan's, when the schedule dies down a bit, or when if things dry out. And then unfortunately, it seems that they didn't end up doing anything with that rule set. They've stuck with the cage and normal MMA fights, and they have some great fighters there too. But that something like that would be interesting because it's also different too, right? You know, you put in the aspect of rope escapes and with points being taken away from rope escapes and open palm strikes. So I think that would be different. It's something that I'm still toying with and thinking about. It just didn't work out because of, schedule conflicts, I suppose.
That's what I love about you is you're just so game. You know what I mean? Like you're doing Nagas, you're doing these, open tournaments for catch wrestling, and then, you know, still working and traveling the world. It's amazing. And, you know, I remember early on when I met you, you were one of the few guys like me that was able to say you trained with like Billy, you trained with Fujiwara. I mean, you've had a lot of time. And then obviously, you know, all the people in your family, which goes without saying. I mean, you've trained with some really top level guys.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've been fortunate enough to do that. you know, like the guys that you just mentioned, and also Josh, Eric Paulson.
Yep.
And then, you know, I've gotten a chance to roll and train with some other great Japanese guys that people probably don't know about. But there's a guy over there named Taka Kuno, and he does pro wrestling as well. But man, he's one tough old dude. And he was a Yuki Ishikawa student. And I believe he's a black belt in BJJ and a judo black belt as well.
Did he wrestle for Battle Arts or anything? Or who's he wrestled for?
I think he did. He does stuff now for, like, he was doing stuff for Inoki's company. And then he competed in the Worlds in Poland a number of years ago. He actually rolled with my jiu-jitsu coach here, Brian Bird. And Brian Bird, he's an amazing jiu-jitsu competitor as well, and he a great judo expert. I think he's out of the guys I've trained with. I believe his jiu-jitsu to be the most effective, or the best. And he's a big man too. So that also works. But you know, TK Tsuyoshi Kosaka, he was really amazing to train and roll with. And,
oh wow,
man, he's got a really exceptionally great guard, you know, and very, very flexible. And you know, when I would pass his guard and get him into side position or mount, it was like, okay, I'm going to start working stuff. And I could feel him starting to do his TK scissors and starting to escape. And I'm like, he's not getting out this time. And he would just manage to slide out. And it was frustrating because I'm like, no, stay here. Okay. And then it was like, he's out again. It's like, I don't know if you've ever seen his fight with Nogueira. I think it was from Deep. And then he had one in Rings too. But it was like, because you know how good Nogueira was back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And TK, he like got out of, like, just with these weird unorthodox escapes, you know. And it was a really good fight. He ended up losing to Nogueira by decision, but Nogueira, he was submitting everybody back then. But that just goes to show you, those guys. I actually got to train with Hiromitsu Kanahara.
And he was
a former, yeah, he was a UWF guy.
Yeah, yeah.
UWF high, and he fought in Pride as well. And K1, super nice guy too. And yeah, he was tough, man. He was really, really tough. And of course, a Billy student as well. I have not gotten a chance to train with Sakuraba. I did go to his old dojo, the Laughter 7 dojo.
Yeah.
And he had closed that down, but very nice guy. I would love to get to know him better and train with him, but he just doesn't have a gym or anything nowadays, but he would certainly, he's on my bucket list to try and pick his brain.
Yeah, Sakuraba is like, oh man, it's hard to understate, or it's hard to overstate what he really meant, especially, you know, to catch wrestling during that era when he was just on fire, you know? I mean, he's pure legend.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, like Billy always used to say, it's too bad that he got put in there with like Silva and Krokop and some of these guys that were just way too big for him, you know?
Yeah, just those freak show matches to sell tickets. You know, the guy that I'm excited about, who I, from what I understand, trained at Sakuraba's dojo, you probably know him. I don't know him. Is Kushida.
Oh, yeah, Kushida, yeah. I know he trained at Takada Dojo and with Sakuraba and those guys, but
oh, it's Takada Dojo.
You know what? But I never gotten a chance to train or with him or anything. There's a pretty good size difference there, but he's a very nice guy though. And certainly Minoru Suzuki is another guy that I've learned a lot of stuff from. He is one of the best. It's a real shame that he hasn't been able to do a seminar here stateside.
Oh, my God, dude.
I remember years ago you were going to get him to do one, right?
I just couldn't get it to go. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's the hard thing about Catch is like, you know, it's a cool thing and it's established and it has all this history and all, but man, it is so small. It is still like incredibly small. I mean, that gate from that show, like I said, you know, it's just not even big enough to sustain a whole card on its own, you know? And so,
yeah.
I tried, but man, when I saw that you were part of Suzuki Goon, I just was like, that was so rad. That's one hell of a mean stable right there.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right.
So, so what else is going on with you, man? I mean, you're. I think New Japan's still the number two biggest pro wrestling organization on the planet. I mean, are you just kind of going with the flow? Because it seems like you're really, it seems like you're at the peak of your powers, man. I mean, you're killing stuff competitively. You're killing stuff, you know, on the entertainment scene. Well, where's your vision for where you're going to go? Or are you just kind of going with the flow?
You know, I'm just kind of going with the flow. Unfortunately, I don't have the pencil and eraser to how things are going to go with New Japan. But I would hope that they would do something more with me in a singles type role.
Yeah.
With, you know, a lot of the talent that's left AEW. And I think that, realistically speaking, you know, going back to the history of New Japan with, you know, their gaijin that they've had before. I mean, I'm 6'5", 260 pounds. Got, you know, awesome power, power moves, suplexes. And then also not only that, but you put in that I'm a legit pretty much MMA fighter, like a catch submission grappler.
Yeah.
And so I would hope that they jump on the opportunity sooner rather than later, for me to be more active as far as in singles competition, as far as that goes, rather. And the KES tag team is really cool too, and everything. I wish that fans in Japan could see more of the action and stuff that I'm doing, like blood sport and that style wrestling. And I wouldn't necessarily, I don't know if I could go out there and put on like a Ring of Honor style match. That's because that's just not what I do, but I don't know if that's what their main focus is on. But that being aside, it seems that I have a bit of a break from them right now, and I'm looking at training again, and I would like to compete in another grappling competition, depending on my availability as far as weekends goes, and train again in MMA and see, talk to Josh and see what we can get rolling as far as that goes, because it would be, I think that the fans would really like to see it, and I've certainly trained a lot at it, and be a nice tribute to Billy Robinson and to all my other coaches that I've had, and to do my best, and it would be a fun challenge for me. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. And that aside, doing MLW is really cool, getting lots of good publicity. We've actually just landed a TV deal over in the UK and Ireland, which can be viewed every Friday, I believe. So
awesome.
So we've got lots of great stuff over there, and I've been talking to Court about trying to do like a show in the UK for MLW once we start getting a base established there. So I think that would be a lot of fun too.
Well, it seems like there's like such a boom in pro wrestling right now. I mean, it's nice because it's like it to me, it looks like the product has turned a corner where it's like, yeah, of course there's the big shows, but there's so many of these other like other shows that are, you know, I guess you call them indies or whatever, but they're really not indies. I mean, they're like well produced, you get in huge gates, you know, and I mean, this whole AEW thing, it seems to really be putting a lot of pressure on there on the big companies too, which from your perspective, I mean, short of unionizing or anything, you know, that kind of having all those promotions compete for you guys seems like a good situation.
Absolutely. I'm curious to see how AEW is going to go. They have a lot of great talent there. I mean, and it seems like they're picking up, they're adding more people to their ship, you know. I've had interest in AEW. The only thing is that they haven't had a show yet. So I just,
yeah,
I don't, I'm assuming they're going to do great business. I'm curious how things are going to start unraveling and unfolding. And unfortunately, I don't know what the situation is, but since these guys all went to AEW, they wanted to still work with New Japan and do stuff. And New Japan just put the X on it and said they would only work with Ring of Honor.
Oh, wow.
And I kind of get it, because they want to, you know, three-way relationships can get kind of tricky, you know, but I think that New Japan kind of made a mistake there, because, you know, you got guys like Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and all these guys. They had really, I think, invested a lot of time and money into, and they were doing great business for New Japan and helping them. And then just to like say, no, we're not going to work with you because we're just working with Ring of Honor, I don't think it was the right decision. But that's just me. That's my opinion. I think ROH is really hurting since losing all that talent.
Yeah.
And I don't know if New Japan can help keep them afloat, but I mean, it's interesting. I've also considered AEW as an option as well. But, you know, that's one of those decisions that you have to make where you say, well, I'm going there. That means that the doors are closed for New Japan.
Right, you know, right.
That's it. Lock the door.
You got to kind of do like a risk assessment, like, because those are big decisions for guys like you.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then there's also decisions if I, you know, do want to pursue anything with MMA, you know, I'm going to have to take time off from wrestling altogether, aside from the MLW. But trips to Japan and stuff might be be hard. So that's another issue that I have, or it's another risk assessment that I have to kind of take a look and see what's going to be really good for my career at this stage, and you know, what direction or what road we're going to take. So I have a lot to think about that.
Let me ask you a question. What was it like wrestling Fit Finlay? That had to have been awesome.
You know what? Fit is a tremendous wrestler. He's on my top five people that I've ever wrestled with. And I, as I know, he's one of those guys that's tough as nails too. And, his dad is still, I believe, the coach for the national wrestling team of Northern Ireland.
Oh, wow.
His dad's like 80 years old. He's like Billy, but he didn't have all the pro wrestling injuries that Billy had.
Yeah.
You know, with the knees and the hip. But man, he is still in great shape. I couldn't believe it when I met him. He's just one of those old guys. You can just tell he's just tough. Just tough, tough, tough. And Fit, you know, he's one of those guys too. And you know, another guy that I should mention that we didn't touch on was Masa Funaki. I got to wrestle him for Real Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It was awesome.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I hope the match goes on YouTube, but it was me and the new Super Tiger versus Kenzo and Masa Funaki. It was for Dynamite Kids. They did a tribute show for him in Sayama.
Ah, yeah.
Since Dynamite passed.
So that just happened.
Yeah, that just happened on my last tour. So it was a really awesome match with Funaki. And man, that guy he's 50 years old, and he is still incredibly awesome shape. And I believe he's tough as shit too.
Yeah.
You know, even now, I believe he could get in there at 50 and fight MMA.
Damn.
And probably beat some of these guys. And you know, he was just doing some chain wrestling with him. We weren't going 100%, but I could just tell, like, his basics and his positioning, like he's on like that other level with Suzuki, like you know, he's been doing it for like 30 years. But and man, Funaki's got a huge hand, like his grip strength was really, really impressive. I wasn't expecting that out of him. He's got a really, really strong grip strength. So
wow.
But man, he's tough, I believe that out of all those UWF guys, I think that he was probably the toughest overall, you know, as far as taking shots goes. Like, do you see that one fight he had with Boss Rutten where he kept getting those palm strikes to the face and then Boss finally knocked him out? But man, I believe he's one of those guys. He's got the real killer instinct and he's got a pretty good chin on him, and he's physically a strong guy too. So.
Well, for me, I'm like obsessed with this. I made it my whole life. I like UWFI. I like the old UWF. I like the Pro Wrestling Fujiwara Gumi, all that stuff. But still, to me, Pancras, especially that first roster, those early, that is, to me, the ultimate. I love those old Pancras matches.
Oh, me too. Those were great. They were... Yeah, it was so unique and different at that time as well. And man, it was awesome.
Now, so if people want to follow you, I mean, what is the best way for fans, or, you know, like, because I know you're doing, because you were part of our camps and the coaching catch program and all that for forever. And you're doing seminars. I've seen you doing all these great kind of one-off seminars and stuff. What's the best way for people to either contact you, book you, or just follow your stuff? Is it Instagram? Is there a website?
Yeah, you know what? The best way is if you follow me on Instagram and Twitter, they're both the same ones. It's at DB Smith Jr. And then you can send me if we're going to talk on via direct mail on there. That's a way fans can follow me and check me out. And if they're interested in booking me for an appearance or seminar or a wrestling show or Comic-Con or a bar mitzvah for a kid's birthday, for a kid's birthday party. No, I'm just kidding. But they can book me on there.
Yeah. Okay. So, DB Smith Jr., right? All one word, no understroke or underscore or anything like that.
just as it is. Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Well, Harry, you have a booking. I saw you just posted on Instagram. Do you got any shows coming up for people if they want to go to them or maybe watch them streaming?
Yeah, you know what? I've got another one coming up April 27th in New York. I will be posting a link to the, because I don't know offhand the exact address in the, I just know it's April 27th. And then I have another booking May 10th for a company up in Boston. And for May is a little bit dry. I'm not exactly sure what else is going on there. But and then June is the MLW TV tapings as well. So,
okay,
but if fans want to keep up with me, I'll be posting all those shows momentarily. And then also, yeah, coming up this Saturday, I'm making my ASW return to Vancouver, Canada. And I'm very, very excited to be back in Vancouver. And I can see my number one fan, Kathy Hunter, down there as well.
Yeah, dude, I love all the pictures you always post of her.
Oh, man. Yeah. So she's a great fan. But I'm looking forward to coming back to ASW. I've had I hope that the fans, all that, you know, the ones that wanted to check me out before, they still come and see these two shows, or this show coming up this weekend. Because I had to cancel. I felt really bad for ASW. I ended up getting I had pneumonia last year. And I had to book I was supposed to have a singles match with Filthy Tom Lawler there, and then we were going to do it again, and it just didn't work out. So I'm glad to be back, and you know, the fans can come and see me again live this Saturday for ASW.
awesome. Okay, guys, so if you want to contact Harry for your son's bar mitzvah, it's DB DB Smith Jr. On Instagram and Twitter too, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Harry, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us, and I'm really glad that you were there for your uncle, man. That was some craziness.
Oh, you're welcome. It was great to catch up with you too, Jake, and looking forward to all the future activity coming up.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. That is the I don't know how else to say it. You're almost like wrestling royalty in a way, because of all the bloodlines. But the thing that I love about you is you don't just like rest on your laurels. I mean, man, you travel around and you bust your ass and you put it on the line in shoots. So my hat is off to you, Harry. I mean, I've really, really enjoyed knowing you, but following you, because, you know, old timers like me and guys without the genetics that got busted up early, it's really neat to see you out there just really representing hard the way you do. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I definitely want to keep the catch name alive as best as I can. And I'm certainly very appreciative for all the help and training that I got. And I was very fortunate to have gotten from Billy Robinson as well. And I'm looking forward to passing that along to others that are hungry and wanting to learn it as well. It's a really, really awesome martial art, and I hope it's not going to keep becoming a lost art or anything. And it's great that guys like you, myself, and Josh Barnett and others are keeping it alive. So I'm looking forward to more activity with catch as well.
Yeah, guys, again, you could either contact me and I'll just forward it to Harry, or just hit up Harry direct, DB Smith Jr. That's on Instagram and Twitter as well. Okay, Harry, I really appreciate the time, brother.
Hey, you're welcome, Jake. Good to hear from you again.
Okay, we'll talk to you real soon.
All right.